Now one of my favorite Megan McDonough songs that I wish to share with you.
Hang up the phone and talk to God. Go off on your own and talk to God. Or just stay home and talk to God. Then open your heart to hear. Shut down the computer and talk to God. Say goodbye to the suitor and talk to God. Quit trying to be cuter and talk to God. Then open your heart to hear.
Thank you, Megan. Well, I dusted off my best picture to try to inspire you to ask some questions. Would that I could be as wise as that picture might depict me. So I'm going to go into the chat box now and hopefully find some questions. Okay, Reverend Mike, when the chaos and suffering of the world seems too much to bear, what do you do to remember the peace of God within yourself? Well, let me first of all be honest that when the chaos occurs and the suffering occurs and the pain occurs, I have to be in that place for a while. It's really important. If I just shrug and slough it off, then it's I'm pretending that it's not real, but it doesn't mean that it goes away. So I think it's really important to honor the turmoil, both external and internal, when it's going on, and then bless it, because you then recognize that in the midst of all of the crap, excuse my language, there really is an opportunity for amazing things to happen. And maybe it doesn't seem like it turns out that way, but I really think that that's a reality, that there's a chance for growth, and I take it to prayer and just ask, what is mine to do? Why is it important, or is it important for us to see ourselves as whole? Well, because that's the truth. Regardless of what happens, regardless of what brokenness that we might feel or experience in our lives, We really and truly are children of God. We really and truly are spiritual beings. And so as such, it's a question of accessing it, having the courage to access it, because embracing your wholeness brings with it all another onslaught of responsibilities and things like that. So, but it kind of relates to the first question. You know, there was so much debate, was Jesus human, was Jesus divine, and da-da-da-da-da, and the fact of it is that I believe that he was incredibly human and grew into his wholeness, his inner wholeness, his Christ self. And so it's just really important for us to embrace our second principle, that we all share that Christ light. Are we really all brothers and sisters? And if so, says who? I who, that's who. Okay. This relates to the previous question again. One of the single most significant things that we hold in unity is that we really, really sign on to that section in the scriptures that we are all made in the image and likeness of God. That is the basis for our wholeness, and that is the basis for our oneness. And it's really important to celebrate our uniqueness as individuals, our uniqueness as a community, unity of Fox Valley. And it's cool to celebrate the uniqueness of a sports team or anything else. But I really, really believe that not just to reference to scriptures that says that we are brothers and sisters, but if you just have ever had a human experience, whether through pain or through a happy event or whatever, to be able to look into somebody's eyes and really see that connection, that is something that is very real if we just have our lens adjusted to see it. So I think it says it in the scriptures, and I also think if we allow it ourselves to go there, it's really very instinctual on our part. I think that there's an inner knowing. You are showing us all these beautiful pictures of people hugging, sharing close with others. How do we get that close personal touch while social isolating? Really tough. One of the casualties, aside from the sickness and the physical sickness and death that was brought on by this pandemic, is that we are really hurting to be with one another, to see one another. And there are other casualties of this pandemic. Suicide rates are up, and a lot of other ills are up. And so it's a struggle. And I don't know, when I'm out going to the store or whatever, wearing my mask, I'm just trying to somehow smile through my eyes. And I think, going back to the first song today, boy, more important than ever, we need to be kind. And we are able to do that. And it's really tough while practicing social distancing, because we are tangible. We need to hear the words. We need to feel the hugs. We need to feel the kisses. So it's difficult. And I really think it's important that we return to some sort of normalcy as soon as we can. I wish I could give you a better answer, a practical answer. But if you have somebody that's close in your life, and you don't have to social distance from that person, whether it's a spouse, a partner, or a child, or a parent, boy, do not hold back in terms of letting those persons know how incredibly significant and important they are to you. How are Unity Fox Valley finances doing? Would another application to Paycheck Protection Program be a good idea for financial security? Okay, it's a complicated question. It's not complicated. I'm trying to give you an accurate depiction. I would say we are okay. That being said, we're always trickling a little bit behind. And we have been blessed. I'm just sharing this with you. On Zoom, we've managed to draw some people from outside our normal Unity of Fox Valley congregation. And some of those people have been very generous. They get it. And I'm affirming that they're making contributions because they're being spiritually fed right now at Unity of Fox Valley. And, you know, we keep talking about the raffle each week. We could use a little bit more help, not for you to make contributions to join in the raffle as much as to share the news, because the whole philosophy behind this is instead of asking people to write checks for hundreds of dollars in order to make up the deficit, if we could just encourage more people to contribute $5 and possibly win a prize. So if you could redistribute that link, that would be helpful. Regarding another application to the Paycheck Protection Program, we have looked into this, and the second phase of the program is designed because we asked the bank, are we eligible to do this? Already having gotten a PPP loan last year, and the bank said, anybody who had received a PPP loan last year is eligible to file again, but it's a good news, bad news thing, because to be eligible on the second go around, you have to show a 25% loss in operating funds for the very same quarter of a year before. And the good news is we've not suffered that kind of a loss. So my understanding is that we're not eligible right now to file for the Paycheck Protection Program. Well, here's one to the point. So when are we going to open the church? Well, in the last couple of weeks, I've been sharing with the staff and with the board. I have a target date in my head of June 1, okay? Now, that's predicated upon enough people getting vaccinated so that it's safe for us to return. It's not etched in stone. If things don't look safe, then we'll postpone that and change it to a later date. We have some ducks to get in a row before we open the church. We have to have a good, successful live streaming program in place, because I would really like to continue to send the message out there to people who maybe are currently being fed on Zoom, and if they wish to continue or invite even more people to join us, that would be great. We have several people from Florida and a couple of other states right now that are enjoying the service and are tuning in, and I don't want to lose them. So it's a soft tentative date. And let's just affirm that it is going to take place. I will fight rigorously to not open the church until I feel that it's safe, because I just don't see any reason to jeopardize anybody's health in this whole crazy thing. Okay, so the next question is, can you talk a little bit about the history of the Unitarian Church? Well, we're not Unitarian. We are Unity. And a lot of people get them mixed up. I don't know all about the Unitarian Church, other than I'm under the impression it's not particularly Christian-oriented or oriented toward any other religious sect. But Unity was founded on the basis of prayer. And just to give you a little tiny bit of history, our co-founders are Charles and Myrtle Fillmore. And they traveled around the country a little bit And at one point, Myrtle was diagnosed with tuberculosis, which back then it was terminal. But they attended a lecture by E.B. Weeks, in which she came away with an affirmation that I am a child of God, and therefore I do not inherit sickness. And she prayed this affirmation constantly, and apparently her tuberculosis went into remission. So they understood the power of prayer, and they started to have a little prayer group, and people heard of what happened, and people would write to her and say, will you pray with me? Will you pray for me? And so they started the Order of Silent Unity, which, so we really, really are immersed in prayer. We are a prayerful faith. And from that, it grew. And so Silent Unity now continues to be available for people who just wish to pray about absolutely anything 24/7. And that's a ministry that's been going on for 100 years. And eventually, because human beings are human beings, people started to scream and yell that we want our own churches. Originally, they met on Sunday evenings so that they, you know, people would who are Catholics could go to their Catholic service on Sunday mornings, and Methodists could go to their Methodist service, and Presbyterians could go. Okay, there was never an attempt to formulate another denomination until people started making noises and said they wanted their own churches. So some churches started to open, and Charles Fillmore said, when people started to complain, said, you wanted the churches, go take care of them now. It's kind of interesting. That's a very short synopsis. And let's see. Oh, here's a comment by Nate Burr, which is appreciated. He says, just a small scientific fact about our brotherhood and sisterhood. All human beings are 99.9% identical in their genetic makeup. Okay, this is a kind of a repeat. When you project, we'll be able to get together in person again. Are you going to base it on what the state tier will be, or how many of us in the congregation get the vaccine? I don't have an ironclad set of rules, but I think we'll have a pretty good indication of when it's safe. How do we know when we are receiving God's message, his calling for our life? This is a really good question, and I will share script from the basis of Scripture. Anybody who ever got God's message calling them to do something, they did not like it. Okay? Jonah was called to do something, and he was supposed to go that way, and he said, yep, got it, God, and then he went that way. Okay? If you read the account from Moses, you know, at the site of the burning bush, you know, Moses was all about, I'm not a good speaker. There's somebody better than this, and da 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 da. So if you're starting to feel a little annoyance and a little tension, okay, you really need to sit yourself down and pray and say, am I being called here? Because you will resist it to a certain extent, in my humble opinion. I certainly did. And you know what's kind of interesting? It's akin in a lot of ways to a serious relationship, okay? Because all of a sudden it's like, oh, wow, now this relationship is going to mean I have to step forward here and do things. And I don't know if I'm comfortable with that. So if you're bothered in your head or in your heart, go with it. Allow yourself to think it through, to feel it through. Because God is calling all of us. And if we are never, ever uncomfortable, then maybe we're tuning things out. What does made in the image of God look like to you. Well, there are 56 of us here today, so it looks like 55 of you is what I would answer. I think the image of God in others is always visible. Even if people don't want to show that image. And I really think it depends on the lens that we choose to wear at a given time. We're very human. We do human things. We do stupid things. We do wonderful things. We also do very small things, like laugh. We smile. We cry. And we walk and we talk. And all of that looks like the image of God to me. The human family is, to me, the most profound manifestation of the presence of God in the world, notwithstanding all of the fighting and the wars and, you know, everything else. So that's as best as I can answer that. Here's another helpful comment. We can all pick up our phone and give one another a call. Thank you, Wanda, for closing the social distance. Remember Stevie Wonder's song, I Just Called to Say I Love You. You may use these words or find your own. Just reach out and connect. So when you start having services back at church, you're going to have some type of online services for the out-of-towners. Yes, I'm going to do my best to get this done. Does it really matter how we language things? Ourselves, others, the world. In other words, do words have power? And can they make a difference? Oh my gosh. Have you ever had the experience of something came out of your mouth and you just tried to reach out and grab it? Words make a difference. And you know, we talk about Jesus as a manifestation of the Christ presence in the world, God with skin on, and what our words frequently will be an indication of is a manifestation of where we are on our spiritual journeys. And because what comes out of our mouth usually is a reflection of what's in our heads, if not in our hearts. And also, this is a really kind of a significant point as far as I'm concerned. We could use our words thoughtfully, deliberately, which will and decide what we want to manifest through our words, which will in turn bring about internal change for us because we are developing a healthy habit. So it's a way of helping things take root deep within our hearts and deep within our souls. Do denials and affirmations work? Well, I believe that they do. Just in case people are confused, not a denial. A denial is not pretending that something isn't going on or that something did not happen or is not happening. Okay? A denial is a refusal to attach energy to those thoughts or things that are hurtful or don't serve us anymore. And the two of them working in tandem, I think, are really effective because once you de-energize something, you are left with a void. And the universe does not like voids and will fill it with something if you don't fill it. So that's why affirmations are so important, because you fill that space affirming, again, your wholeness, the wholeness of one another, And that becomes the well from which you begin to drink, you know, water that is, you know, truly everlasting. So, yes, I do believe that they work. How does the image of God relate to the non-human animal kingdom? Okay, so I have to give you a bit of my own personal theology here. You know, we refer to God as spirit, divine mind, you know, light, all sorts of names that we attach to God. The one that works for me the most is life, and life equaling consciousness. So we are related. All living creatures, all living beings are related. And there are forms of life which maybe do not have the same consciousness that we might, but plants and animals have a consciousness. I'll share a real quick story with you. Last night, my daughter was here with her husband, and they brought their dog, and he got away in the snow. And we felt this connection with this animal, and it would have just been a tragedy if we were not able to recover him. So everybody scattered from the house and, you know, went in different directions, and praise God, we were able to find him. There's a real connection. There's a real connection. And again, it's whatever lens that you're capable of putting on that allow you to feel that connection. I think I got one or two by text. Do you find yourself drawn to or identify with any biblical character, and why? Well, yes. I guess one that I would relate to is the character of Joseph, who out of the blue had his entire life, you know, disrupted. And to hear that, you know what, Joseph, we've got some plans here that we're going to put into place, and to understand that his betrothed was pregnant, but not by him. And I would like to aspire that I would have that type of faith, that type of courage, to really be able to tune in and listen to what I was being called to do. And even though it was a disruption to my life, to go with it, to let it take me wherever it would take me. And I'll give you another one real quick. The rich man who came up to Jesus and said, "What do I have to do, you know, to get into the kingdom?" And Jesus said, "You know, follow the rules, follow the commandments." And he said, "I'm already doing that." And Jesus in effect says, "Well, if you really, really want to be serious, go and sell everything you have, you know, give everything, all the money to the poor, and then come and follow me." Because for most of my life, I've been a rule follower. I was raised in Catholicism and really observed the rules. And like the rich man, I knew it was never enough. So that second part of going in and completely being all in, I'm working on that as hard as I possibly can. So you ask for one character, you got two. Let's see, I think there's one more. At what moment did you realize that you wanted to pursue ministry, and why? Was it an easy decision, or did you find any obstacles along the way? I've always been called to ministry. For most of my life, I've been involved in small groups that were somehow related to in a ministerial way to what I was doing. And that's always where I got my joy. And I was really, however, very, it goes back to what I said about the rich man, okay? I was very much immersed in the business world and striving to get ahead and to make more money and to become more comfortable financially and everything else. I never felt that tug, that pull go away. And Richard Billings, Reverend Richard Billings, once came and preached at Unity Northwest. Never met the man before. And he was at the back of the church, and I said, really a great talk. It was very meaningful. And his response to me was, when are you going into the ministry? And I just busted out laughing. And then when I was studying to be a licensed Unity teacher, Joanne Bellard, who was the spiritual leader at that same church, had lunch with me, and she said, Mike, I think it's great. But what are you messing around for? You need to go into the ministry. And it's really tough to let go of your job and to make a serious change in your life. So I will share this story with you that people have a different take on than I do, okay? But if you listen to Susan, there was a party at our house in which we were married, and that I had supposedly made an announcement that I was going into the ministry, which was a complete surprise to her, that I was applying for ministerial school. I really thought that we had discussed this. So make sure you stay on mute right now, okay, Suze? but it's again, you feel that tugging and that pulling, and it's annoying and disturbing because it's something I like to call the insistence of God. And that's where I am. And I think I've exhausted all of the questions. If I skipped something by one of you, feel free to unmute yourself and talk to me. Otherwise, this will conclude Ask Reverend Mike. Okay. Well, thank you. It's hard to read faces and things on Zoom because I can't get you all on the screen. But I appreciate this opportunity. And next week, I don't know exactly what it's going to be, but it's Super Bowl Sunday. So make sure that you are with us. Last year, we did Dropkick Me, Jesus, through the goalposts of life. We'll do something a little different this year.